Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
What's up, everyone? We have a special episode today brought to you by Jax and I. As we are recording this, though, unfortunately, Erica is under the weather and won't be able to join us. So get well soon, Erica. Please and thank you. So what's the topic, though, that we're discussing? Well, it's a topic that's near and dear to Jax and I for more than one reason. We're going to be talking about military transition into the civilian world and how veterans can successfully move from military life and have a successful civilian life and career. So, with that being said, it's me and Jax. So hello, Jax.
Hey, John and Erica, we do miss you. Get well soon.
So with the topics that we're going to be talking about, the first one that we want to talk about, and it's just going to be kind of like a natural organic conversation between Jax and I, is the challenges of transitioning from military to civilian life. For any folks that are in the military and thinking about this, it's, you know, a little bit daunting. And for those who are veterans that have transitioned into civilian life, hopefully you'll be able to gain some insight from this. But with that being said, Jax, I'd love for you to take charge and share any stories or anything that would relate to the question.
Absolutely, John. And I want to add another group of individuals that are going to be listening to this are the civilians. So we've talked about doing this podcast for a while because I think it's also really important to educate the civilians to know that there is a challenge there for us. Sometimes the veterans don't even realize that there's a challenge. And I was one of those because I figured, oh, it can't be that difficult going from the military life into the civilian life. We're all humans. We all speak English. But it's so different. And so I would just say for any HR people listening or just civilians that maybe haven't been around military, just give us some time, give us some patience, and then talk to us and let us know if we're maybe rubbing you wrong, per se. But personally, my challenge started in 2015. I had actually been, for most of my career, active duty, either in actual active duty service or serving as a National Guard soldier in an active duty status. And I didn't take the uniform off, is what we call it. I didn't take my uniform off until about 2015, after multiple combat deployments, multiple like difficult schools like air assault school, pre-ranger school, special ops training school, stuff like that. So my mindset for that would be almost well over 10 years, around 13 years, was very military-esque. And so in 2015, I took the uniform off and my first job was working with a whole bunch of special operators and launching a business out in Las Vegas. And it was an entertainment business. And even though I was working with a bunch of operators, and when I say operators, Green Berets, Navy SEALs, the special ops guys, and they had founded a business to work with the entertainment company, was called Adventure Combat Ops. And it was designed for civilians to come in and kill zombies side by side with real special forces operators. And it's not around any longer. It was there for a few years and it was a great, great vision and mission. And you used airsoft. So working in that community still, it was a little bit easier transition, but where my challenges came into play is I was the project manager and I was managing the staff, the civilian staff of 19, 20 year olds that were either the zombies, the actors, or the people running the front desk. And it was a challenge for me because the communication was completely different. And I had to realize very, very quickly, the way that I communicated in the military was not going to be able to get me where I needed to be on the civilian world because I made people cry and I didn't mean to. And I know, John, we were just talking about this before we went live about you definitely can't be I don't even know if straightforward is the correct term, but you can't be as aggressive and just like, hey, I need you to do this. Don't ask why and just get it done. So that was one of the big transitioning points for me in 2015. John, do you have any similar stories during your transitioning time out of the uniform and into civilian life?
Yeah. And I think too, like, before I dive into my story is that, I think a good thing to attach to how you communicate to people is that you have to give orders or direction, right? We don't call it orders in the civilian world. We call it direction or, you know, task. And even in that sense, right, the terminology is different, but it doesn't sound as harsh, right? Where mm-hmm. you say, well, this is your order. You have to do that, right? Or I'm giving you an order versus, hey, I need you to do this. Here's task 1, 2, and 3. You know, in just conveying it that way, it sounds a lot more approachable. Also, the other thing is, too, is that you need to lead and direct with empathy and sympathy, right? You need to give buffer to your subordinates or coworkers, right? You might not even want to use the word subordinates because that can come off as a harsh term. But for my transition, I was in the military. I was in the Navy for about 4.5 years. I went through special ops training, not Navy SEAL training, but something that was very, very similar to Navy SEAL training. And then, unfortunately, after about 6 months, washed out of that for certain reasons, and then went and did special boat operations, or small boat operations, rather, in the Navy, and was attached to an aircraft carrier for about 4 years. And did a lot of different things. Did a lot of different things that don't relate, or very little relate, to my current career. But the big thing that I struggled with when transitioning from military life to civilian life was honestly worrying about what I was going to do for a job, because in the Navy I was doing things on the water and I was gone a lot. And then also I was actually an engineer, so I worked a lot with my hands. And getting out of the military, I had a new little one on the way. She was supposed to be born about 4 or 5 months after I was getting out of the military, which, you know, lo and behold, she showed up and had a perfect, healthy little baby. But I really worried about, like, how am I going to support a great lifestyle for this little one, this little individual, right? And we get used to being in the military and having that paycheck on the 1st and the 15th. And the conundrum was, I didn't want to be in the military because I didn't want to be away from my little one. I didn't want to be that individual that was gone from their family all the time serving in the military. So I really had to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And so the struggle was figuring out how I could plan that. And the best resource I had was TAPS class. For anyone who is transitioning out of the military, you should hopefully have a good TAPS class. And if you don't, you should ask questions that you might have if they're not answered throughout the course. And I think it's usually like 5 days or 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you are prepped to hit the civilian life, or what is going to be your life, at full scale. And so for me, the big thing that I wanted to do is, at the time, I actually wanted to be a police officer. I was stationed out of Washington at the time and really, really wanted to be part of Seattle PD. My big, you know, mantra, mission statement was that I wanted to be one of the folks within Seattle to help make Seattle a better place, you know, despite what unfortunately has been going on during COVID. So with that being said, I actually went and went through the hiring process for Seattle PD. And when I got to the physical part, I unfortunately, because of my, my disability rating, and because unfortunately there's not a lot of cartilage left in my knees, I wasn't able to do that. So I had to right then and there think about a new job. And at this point, my little one was already here. So, you know, that's a point that I think a lot of folks will hit, is that they'll get out of the civilian, or they'll get into the civilian world and they'll want to do something. And then they might dabble around in it and then they realize that's not what I want to do. And essentially that's kind of what happened to me, only it was forced on me rather than you know, me realizing it's not what I want to do. And so I really had to think about like some of the core concepts of why I wanted to be a police officer. And instead of thinking like, oh man, my life is over, like, or what am I supposed to do? I'm just going to go get a job that kind of relates to what I was doing in the military. I thought about why I wanted to be a police officer, and I really wanted to be a police officer because I wanted to help others. And I thought about some of the things that I like to do. I've always been intrigued by computers. I have an associate's in audio engineering, which is essentially a degree in computer music. And so I thought about it. And I was like, you know, I really like computers and I know enough about computers. And at the time, I was actually working in a SOC, interestingly enough, has a security guard, but doing access control. So it was an interesting part. But I just knew I wanted to help people, and I knew I liked computers and gravitated towards computers. And I decided to go into cybersecurity, not knowing that like it was going to provide a very bountiful life for me and a lot of purpose. Just kind of gravitated towards it. So to really kind of like conclude all that, because I know I just said a lot, is that when you're getting out, think about the career that you want and think about the core components of that career. Think about like, why is it that you want to gravitate towards that? You know, is it because there's certain traits of the job? And in this case, I wanted to be a police officer to help people. You know, even if you want to go be a financial analyst because you want to go work with money or you want to make a lot of money, right? That's okay. Just understand that like that's the reason why you want to do that, and make sure that you have options built around those core concepts, right? So if you want to chase money, go find jobs that will make you a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to, you know, influence people, look at being an educator or, you know, doing things that will do that. But make sure that you have options based around those fundamental parts.
Yeah, you brought up really good points, especially with having your daughter as kind of your Northern Star. And I know I'm that veteran that was single getting out of the military, and I didn't have that Northern Star. And I think that plays a role into that anxiety level. What am I going to do and how am I going to make money when I get out of the military? And that is definitely, even if you've served 20 years, I think it's harder when you've served longer because you're so indoctrinated into that mindset. You've gotten that first and the 15th paycheck for 20 plus years. You have a family, likelihood of, you know, having a family as well, you've got to take care of. And that's a scary time. And I know a lot of people, they get out and they think they're going to make it because they've got that veteran background. Here you go, hire me. And it's not as easy to transition into the civilian world as you think. And you're wondering, how am I going to get that next paycheck? And that for me, I'm kind of a gypsy soul. And so when I got out, I just was like, I'll just figure it out. And I just went to Vegas and started living there for 4.5 years until I moved on to something else. And I just kept kind of popping around until I landed back into the cyber world. But what I want to know from you and your experience though, John, during your time of doing the physical security and everything, did you run into any challenges that you started realizing and started noticing, I can't be a certain way. I can't be this way like I was in the military. I can't be this way with this person. Or did you ever have conflicts because of the personality that you had from the military going into those different sectors? Because being a police officer, you see that a lot. A lot of military people go into that. But being in cybersecurity, it's a different mindset. Even physical security still has a similar mindset to the military. How was that for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the first thing that I can recall, like as soon as you said that, I remember this one incident. I won't even call it an incident. There was someone who I worked with who was very supportive of the military in the sense of where he would actually get what he called military appreciation tattoos in visible parts of his body, such as like his forearms and his arms. And he would wear, you know, after hours when we didn't have to have our uniform on anymore, like he would, you know, take his uniform off, and he'd always, at the time I was living in Southern California, so, you know, it's warm outside. So he'd have a sleeveless shirt on. So his tattoos would just be there glimmering in the moonlight. You know, so he had like, you know, tattoos that said like, don't tread on me, or like, like, I forget what else he had. I think his brother was like a Marine, so he had like a Marine appreciation tattoo, but it was like borderline, like where someone might look at him and say, oh, you were in the military, right? It's kind of like that, right? And I remember, like, you know, fresh civilian right out of the military. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, man, you can't do that.
Like stolen valor kind
of. Yeah, almost. Like, he didn't claim to be in the military. Yeah. But he did have stories about how, like, why he couldn't be in the military. And I'm sure any veterans that are listening are like, oh, it's one of those folks. But, you know, like, I'll be very, very blunt. Is like, we had conversations. I wouldn't call them altercations or anything, but we had conversations that weren't great. And I realized after that, like, you really can't let things like that get to you, because mm-hmm. I realized that it put disruption in the workplace for me, and it made me actually want to be at my job less because of someone doing what they wanted to do that wasn't actually hurting anybody, right? It wasn't hurting anyone, but I was letting it influence me. And, you know, so big thing is there is for anybody who's getting out is that don't let others influence you in a negative way, because folks are going to they're going to look at you or treat you differently or talk about you differently because you were in the military. I got out in 2014, so I've been out for almost 7 years now, and I still, you know, get jokes made at me referenced by my military service. And you kind of just have to take it as a grain of salt. And it's easier just to chuckle at it than to, you know, take offense to it, right? Unless somebody is like directly like offending you for your military service, you know, that's one different thing. But a lot of people might make banter around you has a military service member and a veteran. And if they do, you know, it's just all in good fun, because it really goes into the communication style of the civilian world where there's a lot more flexibility, and, you know, things aren't so direct, and people, you know, are a little bit more loose around the edges, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's identity too. It's when you come out, for me, it was a little bit different, because when I came out of the uniform in 15, I started working for that company. I was still kind of in that military circle. But I will tell you, there was this huge shift, and I don't know if it was shame. I know it was part of the trauma from deployment and other things that I refused to tell people that I was in the military. When I launched my company, it was a natural thing because it was part of me being the CEO of the company, of my background and why we founded Outpost Gray. But it was really when I would go out with new people and new friends or go on dates or whatever the situation was, that was the last thing that I brought up. And even still today, and I don't do it now out of like guilt or shame or anything like that. I'm not a full-time soldier. It's part of my life, but it's not my core. And I think that's a big thing when you're getting out of the military. It's still part of you, but it doesn't define you. It's not your day-to-day. And I see that as, for some people, very, very hard, especially when they've been in for 20 plus years and they come out and they go into, let's use the cybersecurity sector for an example, and they don't know how to make that transition, and you cuss every other word that doesn't go over the same in the cybersecurity sector as it would if you're out in the field with your comrades, your buddies, your battle buddies. Not something that I wasn't a big cusser when I got out, but my communication was definitely different in the military. And I've had to relearn, not that I was a bad communicator, I was a great communicator in the military, but I started realizing that how I communicated and the things that I said and how I delivered it was not received in the same way on the civilian side. Have you experienced anything like that? And if you did, what did you do to kind of overcome that for yourself?
Yes and no. I think a big thing, really just to kind of like circle all of this stuff, put it in a bucket, is really we identify as veterans, right? It's not something that you do. It's something that you are, right? We are veterans. We you know, we're in the military for an, you know, however long the period was, but when we get out, we are a veteran. It is, it's part of who we are. That's why you can have it on your driver's license.
Yep.
Right. When you're filling out applications, you put if you're a veteran or not. And when we get into a position, you know, at a company, like for instance, you know, if you're a security analyst, you only occupy the role as the security analyst. You are a security analyst, but you're not, right? You're occupying that role, but you're still a veteran to your core. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that in and of itself brings some conflicts, right? And, you know, for myself, I mean, the only issue I've seen with that I've had to work on, or one of the bigger issues, I guess, that I've had to work on throughout my civilian career, especially as I've gone away from working in the DoD and the government, because I did do that for a while, is just the way on how you kind of talk to people, right? And I've been told in the way how, like, has when I've been in leadership as a manager or a team lead, that, you know, the way how you have to talk to people is a lot different than the way how you would talk to them in the military. And I kind of like hinted at that when we started talking, right? You don't give orders, you give tasks, right? And they're not your subordinates, they're just your coworkers, right? And you have to show empathy and sympathy towards them to allow that buffer, right? And so one of the big things that I've had to, it's not a challenge in the sense of where, like, I've been told, hey, John, you did that wrong. But when I got into leadership in the civilian world, is the best piece of advice that I ever got told by a few different people, and two of them were veterans, one was not, was that when you're working in as a leader in the civilian world, your words mean something. Your words matter versus in the military. And I mean, I'm sure all the veterans here can understand, is like, you'll get orders from your chain of command, and you'll think, oh, okay, well, whatever, I've got to still do this, but whatever, like, they're a jerk, or, you know, some other word that we won't say. But in the civilian world, you know, you don't even want to allow that thought to be put into your coworkers' heads, right? You want to make sure that when you're delivering tasks, that you are illustrating full support in those tasks rather than turn to get it done and don't come back until you have it done, right? Mm-hmm. And if you don't have it done, we're going to have issues.
Yeah.
You have to lead with empathy, lead with sympathy, and lead with direction, if that makes sense, right? And I've learned that as a leader in the civilian world.
I love that. Empathy was not a thing that you're taught, well, at least within my journey in the military at all. No. And in the soft world, especially, I mean, yeah, you don't show weakness of any kind. I will say in the last couple of years, I have had to relearn empathy for myself. And because of that, I have been able to give it to others. And it has completely transformed my experience working on the civilian sector. Another thing that, and you've touched on this too, is tasks. In the military, you tell a soldier what to do, and they better not ask for you to explain yourself or ask why. Why do I have to do that? Well, that's doesn't matter. Go and do it. And that's how, it's not so much like that anymore per se, because when I went to my warrant officer school, my basic course in 2014-15, our leadership even told us, hey, when you guys start leading other soldiers, make sure you're going to be dealing with soldiers that you're going to have to explain the why. And back then, I was still in that old mindset. I was like, why? Like, why do we have to explain the why? They just need to execute and do it. And now I understand it. And then being on the civilian side, I ask for the why now. I want to understand what my mission is, no matter what level. If I'm a tier one or a tier two, wherever I'm at, I believe that the employees need to understand what the overall vision and mission is for that organization. What is that big why? Why are they doing this? And I don't think that makes you weak. That actually shows your empathy for them to say, hey, you're part of a team. You're part of this family. Let's make this work together. This is why your work matters, is because it's part of this bigger vision, and this bigger mission and vision that we have at the organization. We don't do that in the military because we're just like, nope, doesn't matter. Go take it. Go get it done. Just because I said, that's your why. I love that one. Why? Because I said so. I am like, that is the worst. And we still have a lot of leaders like that. And it is the military. And, you know, it'll change if it wants to. I don't know if it will. And it's just the military, but then the civilian world. I love working in the civilian sector, and I love my team. I love where I'm at, but it was a change for me. And at first I was resistant to it because I'm like, well, this is how it is. This is how it should be. But now I'm okay with a lot of the, I guess we can call it touchy-feely. I'm okay with people having a voice, being a thought leader. You don't have a lot of thought leaders in the military. That they don't want so many thought leaders as they want doers. They just want worker bees. So they need a job to get done. And that's another big thing that I've definitely seen. But I know we're coming around to time though, but I want to ask you a question, John, for your transition and your point of view. If you can think back to the time when you transitioned and what you were going through, are there any tips that you can provide to those individuals that are listening right now that are in that transition phase, or maybe they're already in it and they're kind of struggling? And what are some things that you could provide to them that may help them out?
Yeah. Know that you're not alone. When I went through, I felt pretty not alone in the sense of like, you know, in this dark void, but like I felt alone, like in the sense of, you know, you're going to have folks that are going to tell you like you're making a mistake. That's going to happen. And unfortunately, it happens to everyone. Every veteran that you meet will say, yeah, somebody in leadership told me I was going to fail, or, you know, this, that, and the other. A million excuses of or reasons of why you're not going to succeed in civilian life. Those are the folks that they stick in the military because they don't have the direction or the motivation to find a purpose outside the military. And that's okay. The military gives purpose to a lot of folks. So when you're going through, make sure that you block out the naysayers, right? Because they're going to try to instill some kind of imposter syndrome in you. And it's going to stick with you if you allow it to. And it will feed out through your entire career outside of the military. The other thing is, too, is make sure that you have a good support network, right? Make sure that you know, if you have a family, you know, if you have a spouse, you lean on your spouse for support. If you have kids, make sure that you enjoy that time with your kids and really kind of get the full effect of like, this is what life is about, because now you don't have to be gone all the time. Make sure that you have other veterans that you reach out to that can help support you. Make sure that you start networking with folks in the field that you want to get into, because they're going to help you land on your feet when you're outside the military. It's really just about networking, 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 but not just at a career level, but at an emotional level, because mm-hmm. you're no longer a military service member. You don't identify as that anymore. That is, you know, the military is not a job. It's a lifestyle, and you are no longer that person. You are now a veteran, and you need to prepare for the lifestyle as a veteran. So make sure that you are also emotionally supported when you're transitioning. That's my biggest tip.
Wow.
What about you?
You literally covered it all, John. That was, I feel like you had that scripted out, but it's all about support group. You literally covered everything. It can be lonely when you first get out. I know for me it was. And then when I really got into civilian life with very little veterans around me, it was a little like I had my moments of sadness and whatever you want to call it. But now, hey, I'm in the civilian world, and when you meet a veteran, it's something lights up in me whenever I run into a veteran somewhere and somebody says, you know, they served. That's the bond we have. But yeah, we're not, just because we take off the uniform doesn't mean we're not a veteran or not a, you know, military service member. But I love it. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why we get free Applebee's every November.
I haven't used that. I haven't used my veterans discount forever. We need to do that. Veterans discount. Yeah.
Heck yes, we do.
I love it. Well, we'll wrap up. And if you guys want to find us, the best way to do it is to find us on the ITSP Magazine website. You can find us under our podcast. Reach out to us. Any veterans out there that need any mentor, mentee, reach out to John, reach out to myself. We got you. Thanks again.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and Hack Zen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share itsbmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.